Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Could you imagine the great Apostle Paul with a stutter or with stumbling around and because of his failing vision, or perhaps struggling violently or fervishly with a particular temptation that so plagued him in his life, or perhaps wrestling spiritually with deep feelings of guilt over the sins that he had committed in his life? It might be hard to imagine the great apostle of the gospel of Jesus that we read about in the Bible, who traveled all over Europe and Asia Minor, and who was persecuted many times for preaching the gospel of Jesus, but yet he boldly continued to do so. It's hard to imagine him that he could have suffered in any of those ways. But in our reading this morning, we see the Apostle Paul saying that he was tormented by a certain thorn in the flesh, he calls it. Now, he doesn't tell us exactly what that thorn in the flesh was, but the ideas that were just mentioned are some of the possibilities that Bible scholars have suggested that it might have been. Paul tells us, "I will be glad to boast all the more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may shelter me." What weaknesses do you have? Physical or otherwise, emotional, spiritual. Can you rely upon God's grace in good times and in bad times? Do you, like the Apostle Paul, delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships? Paul certainly knew the meaning of affliction. In verse 10 of our reading, he says, "I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Paul was simply describing his continuing condition and the treatment that he had to take from others as a result. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but some people have speculated that perhaps it was maybe even epilepsy, being racked with frequent seizures that would take control of his body and reduce him, reduce his physical strength and his ability of speech. Perhaps some other kind of speech defect or partial blindness, or a deep spiritual struggle against some particular sin or against guilt. All of those are reasonable guesses, because Paul describes his own situation in this way. He says, "To keep me from becoming arrogant due to the extraordinary nature of these revelations, I was given a thorn in my flesh." Since it was through Paul that God gave us the great revelations that we read about in so many books of the New Testament, teaching about how we are saved through faith in Jesus' work for us by God's grace alone, not by anything that we do. And so there was something that got in the way of Paul's efforts to deliver this message to us. And Paul prayed to God for deliverance from whatever it was that was causing him so much trouble and affliction. He tells us, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he would take it away from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness.'" God was teaching Paul about how to rely totally on Christ and on his grace in Jesus. Paul had to learn this lesson even after he had already become a child of God through faith and through the washing of baptism. Paul still had to learn to rely totally on God's blessings and on the grace of Jesus for every physical and emotional and spiritual matter that he faced in his life. The good news about Jesus does not rely on power or on skill or on the emotions of people. Rather, the power of the gospel is God's own power. And God shows this power and this love of his to the entire world through the cross and the empty tomb of our Savior Jesus. Thus, the mark of Paul's trust in the Lord, even in the face of that most troubling of afflictions that he faced, can be seen in these words of his. When he says, "That is why I delight in weaknesses," and so on. All for the sake of Christ. Though you and I are a long way from being compared to the Apostle Paul, things haven't really changed all that much in the last 2,000 years since he lived. We might not be afflicted with epilepsy or with stuttering or with partial blindness as the thorns in our flesh, but how much do we rely on ourselves when it comes to the work of the Lord, the spreading of the gospel? And how much do we rely on the Lord and on his power? I know that for myself, too often I attempt to be God's spokesman without first praying and studying and preparing in order to share that message with the person who needs to hear it. And then I wonder why things don't go so well in that situation. Have you ever wondered why all our efforts in Christ to share the gospel do not always produce the phenomenal growth that we hope and pray for? Is this perhaps our thorn in the flesh, that we are sometimes con artists in the kingdom of God and in his mission? Have you ever found yourself using your situation, your difficulty in life, as a reason for not being a messenger for Christ, or not being as faithful of a messenger for Christ as he calls you to be? Have you ever perhaps said to yourself, "If only I was better educated," or "If only I could memorize passages of the Bible more easily," or "If only I was more confident to talk in public," or "If only I had more free time to participate in that mission that God has given to his people, then what a great messenger for Jesus I would be." Are we relying on our own strength in life, claiming to be living by the power of Jesus, but actually relying on ourselves and on our own power? And then as problems develop in our lives, do we feel that God has failed us? We perhaps wonder where God is in our lives, and we may even begin to doubt his love and goodness to us. However, when we're faced with difficulties in life, we should instead, like the Apostle Paul did, plead earnestly with God in prayer. If we're faced with physical, emotional, or spiritual problems that are keeping us from fulfilling the calling as God's messengers, let God know about it. Even the great King David in the Old Testament, whom God called a man after his own heart, he prayed to God frequently, calling on God to teach me the way I should go. And in our text, we see the Apostle Paul, the great apostle and missionary of Jesus, earnestly pleading with the Lord three times to take away his thorn in the flesh. But there's no reason that we need to stop praying to God after just three times. As Jesus taught us, we should pray to God boldly, confidently, and persistently, asking God for his blessings and trusting that God will hear and answer our prayers in the way that is best for us, even if that perhaps is not always exactly in the way that we want. Of greatest importance for the Apostle Paul and for us is to trust and believe in that message that God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness." And so Paul says, "I will be glad to boast all the more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may shelter me." God's grace will remain largely an abstract concept to us until we recognize that we can't make it to God or do God's will all by ourselves and by our own power. We can say the right words and make the right responses for only so long. But finally, in the end, it all comes down to the time when we must lay all of our hope, all of our trust on God and on his grace and power through Jesus, our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we must believe that God's gift of himself to us in Jesus is sufficient for us, for all of our needs at all times in our lives. But it's a sad reality that so often in our lives, it's only when all of our human strength is stripped away, when we feel that we're at the end of our rope, when it finally sometimes dawns on us that yes, Jesus is everything that we need. And then at that time, when God gives us that realization, then we can join with the Apostle Paul and joyfully say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Then we can truly say and sing as we did in our first hymn this morning in our worship service. I cried to him in time of need. Lord God, oh, hear my calling. For death, he gave me life indeed and kept my feet from falling. For this, my thanks shall endless be. Oh, thank him. Thank our God with me. To God all praise and glory. Yes, we can even delight in our weaknesses for the sake of Jesus, as the Apostle Paul did. Now, naturally, it's easy for us to say that, but how do we live it? Everyone smiles and is happy when the sun is shining and when things are going well, but what about when the days are cloudy and things are not going well? In our youth and in our health, you know how happy you were to swear your allegiance to God when you were confirmed after being instructed in the Christian faith. But what happens when the reality of life sets in with all of its ups and downs? At those times, can you still rely fully on God's grace for you? Praise Jesus that God's grace is enough for us. As God's grace was given to the Apostle Paul, even in the face of his stubbornness and his opposition to God's mission, so the Lord deals graciously with us, even at times when all seems to be lost in our lives. Though we are tempted in our lives by the devil, as Paul was, tempted to pout and to complain when things don't go our way, when we perhaps repeatedly are hit with troubles and difficulties and even sometimes persecution and opposition, and when all we can seem to see in our lives is hardship and difficulty, yet we can still say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Praise Jesus, our Savior, for in him we truly can face all things. By God's grace, may we always say with the Apostle Paul, I will gladly boast all the more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may shelter me.